Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Dion Gordon Podcast. I am your host, the connoisseur of common sense, the purveyor of authenticity, showing much flex when it's time to wreck a mic, pimping hoes and clocking a grip like my name was Dolomite. Dion Tyre Gordon, enough of the bullshit. Let's get to work. Super Bowl 55, baby. I'm psyched. I'm ready for this. I'm here for this. This is a national holiday. This is a man's day. Well, women watch it too, but this is a day for us. This is our day. They got Valentine's Day and them other holidays. This is Super Bowl Sunday. This is our day, national holiday. This is the culmination of the 2021 NFL football season. This is the battle for football supremacy and football immortality. This is the most important event in the history of Western civilization. Super Bowl 55, the Kansas City Chiefs. Much to my chagrin, you're reigning, conquering, defending NFL Super Bowl champions, being led by Patrick Mahomes, the best quarterback in professional football. Andy Reid on the sidelines calling the plays. Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator, who should be a coach somewhere. Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, a stout defense that people often overlook. Chris Jones, the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu. Steve Spagnuolo on the sideline calling the plays, the evil genius of defense that he is. The Kansas City Chiefs, with a win-loss record of 14 wins and 2 losses, champions of the American Football Conference, coming back to defend their Lombardi Trophy, to defend their NFL World Heavyweight Championship against their opponent, representing the National Football Conference, representing Tampa, Florida, which is also the home of Super Bowl 55. So this is the first time in the 55-year history of the greatest game of all time, the Super Bowl, that the host city will also be playing for the Lombardi Trophy, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers playing in Tampa, Florida at their home stadium of Raymond James Stadium. This is the first ever home game in Super Bowl history. And of course, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are being led by the greatest quarterback of all time, the man who will be appearing in his 10th Super Bowl, his record 10th Super Bowl. No other player in the history of the NFL has ever appeared in 10 Super Bowls, attempting to win his 7th Super Bowl championship. Teams have not won 7 championships. Tom Brady by himself as an individual player is trying to win his 7th title. History in the making, unfolding right in front of your eyes, and most of you dumbasses don't appreciate it. The 11-5 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Bruce Arians trying to win his first championship. The Bucs back in the Super Bowl for the first time since 2002. Super Bowl 37 when they came through and crushed the buildings on the Oakland Raiders 48-21. I'm so hyped. I'm so excited. I'm so ready for this. I love football. I love football so much that if you don't like football, that I don't like you. I love football. For me, this is legitimately a holiday this Sunday. I can't wait. You know, all throughout the week, I've been watching on the classic NFL films footage on NFL Network, all the Super Bowl highlights, marathons, and reruns that they've had going on, the classic grainy footage, the John Facenda narration, that the voice of God telling you about the story of professional football, how the Super Bowl came about and the humble beginnings, and Super Bowl I in the L.A. Coliseum, and the game wasn't even sold out. It was about 67,000 people there. Called the Super Bowl at first, it was only called the AFL-NFL Championship. It wasn't until Lamar Hunt, the founder of the old AFL, which was the precursor to the AFC before the two leagues merged together, Lamar Hunt, the founder of the AFL and also the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs back in the day, nicknamed the game the Super Bowl after a product from back in the day called the Super Ball that his four-year-old daughter had. And that's the origins of the game. It's where the name Super Bowl came from a product in the 1960s called the Super Ball. And it's evolved from that, from playing in a half-empty coliseum. The game was also broadcast on two different networks, on NBC and CBS as well. Another fun fact about the first ever Super Bowl. But we've gone from all that, from the game not even being called the Super Bowl, being broadcast on two networks and half-empty stadium, to where it is now with Super Bowl 55, and it's a big multimedia event, and the whole world's going to be watching. Over 150 million people, I'm sure, are going to watch. You got the week-long hype that leads up to the game. A little bit different this year because of COVID. There wasn't the typical media day that you usually get on Tuesday with different reporters from different genres and aspects of entertainment all coming through to ask dumbass, insane questions like, what is your favorite color? If you were a dog, what kind of dog would you be? The stupid shit like that you typically get. So maybe this is a good thing. They did everything virtual this year because everyone's doing everything virtual. So it was a Zoom Super Bowl media press conference week, I guess. The Kansas City Chiefs are still in Kansas City. They have yet to arrive in Tampa for the game. which is out of the ordinary. Typically, both teams will arrive at the host stadium, at the host site of the Super Bowl, about Sunday or Monday, the week before the game. But this is an unusual circumstance where, number one, you have the host team playing in their home stadium for the Super Bowl. So Tampa's obviously already there. And because of COVID and the restrictions and everything, Kansas City is not going to take a chance by flying in and having some guys possibly, you know, go out to eat, go out to the club, go over to the beach, whatever, interact with some folks, test positive for COVID. Although they did have a small scare this week where their barber apparently tested positive for COVID, and they were concerned that 20 players, including Patrick Mahomes, might have been potentially exposed. I haven't heard anything yet. I mean, this is the NFL. This is pro football we're talking about. This is a league that has historically has hidden and covered up legitimate injuries like a concussion. So who's to say that they wouldn't hide the COVID-19 results? This is the Super Bowl. This game is being sold not just on Tampa Bay versus Kansas City. This game is being sold on Brady versus Mahomes, the passing of the torch, Rock versus Hogan, Jordan versus LeBron, whatever you want to call it. So, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't even like putting shit out there like that, but I'm also a realist. I know, like I said, the NFL has a history of hiding injuries and not always disclosing information to people. They can say that Mahomes and a couple other guys might have been around this particular barber, but they're not going to disclose whether or not someone tested positive or negative as a fallout. The players during the Super Bowl week are being tested twice a day to make sure everyone's good to go. I haven't heard anything legitimate in regards to someone testing positive and not being available to play this Sunday. I would doubt very much if anyone did test positive. If someone did test positive, it would probably be a fringe player that no one gave a fuck about anyway. But guys like Brady and Mahomes, they could be showing all the symptoms. No sense of smell, no taste, runny nose, chest pain, whatever the case may be. They're going to play this Sunday. And that's just what it is. And speaking of those two, the quarterbacks, the stars of the game, the CEOs, the faces of the franchise, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, the greatest quarterback of all time, and the best quarterback currently active in professional football right now today. This is the matchup that everyone's going to be paying attention to. This is the matchup everyone can't wait to see, myself included. I want to see how they respond. Now, the first thing, these teams have met earlier this season in Week 12. It was Kansas City 27. Tampa Bay 24, KC got out to a 17-0 lead. Tyreek Hill had 200 yards receiving in the first quarter. Patrick Mahomes had over 300 for the entire game. They just bombed on Tampa Bay for the first 2.5 quarters of the game. Tampa Bay came back late, made it close, wasn't able to take the lead, and wasn't able to win the game. But that's just food for thought. Mahomes has already shown he can shred this Tampa Bay defense. He's shown he can shred every defense. And as I've said so many times before in this podcast, I don't know legitimately how you stop this offense. The only way to stop this offense, you have to get pressure with four down linemen. And Tampa, fortunately for them, they have the people equipped to do that. They have Shaq Barrett on one edge. They have Jason Pierre-Paul on the other. They have Vita Vea. They have Ndamukong Suh. They have people who can apply pressure with just four down linemen because you cannot blitz Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes on the regular season led all NFL passers with a minimum of 75 pass attempts and yards and passer rating against the blitz. He had a passer rating of 115.9 versus the blitz, 12 touchdown passes, 0 interceptions. The first time these two teams played, Kansas City had 543 yards total offense. As I mentioned earlier, Tyreek Hill had 203 yards receiving in the first quarter alone. Todd Bowles, if you're listening, please, I'm pleading you, I'm begging with you, do not blitz in this game. And please, for the love of God, for Carlton Davis's family, who I'm sure will be watching, do not leave that brother one-on-one in pass coverage versus Tyreek Hill. He will get decimated, destroyed, eviscerated, embarrassed, just like he did the first time y'all played. Once again, I repeat, Todd Bowles, if you're listening, I'm pleading with you, please, do not leave Carlton Davis alone on an island one-on-one with Tyreek Hill, because Tyreek Hill will beat 7 different shades of shit down this man's leg on Super Bowl Sunday in front of the whole fucking world. Tyreek Hill will make Carlton Davis look like Carlton Banks on Super Bowl Sunday. Ty Bowles, do not, please underline that, put that in big, bold, black letters. Do not allow Carlton Davis or any of your defensive backs, none of them, Winfield, none of them, should be one-on-one alone on Tyreek Hill. Either zone coverage, single high safety, bracket coverage, whatever. Do not leave any of your DBs alone in a one-on-one versus Tyreek Hill, y'all will die a slow, not a slow, painful death. You will die a fast, quick death over and over again. It'll be like the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. You have a fucking anvil fall on your head. A boulder will fall off a cliff on you in this game. If you try to go one-on-one with Tyreek Hill, none of your DBs can do that. You have to play coverage. You have to borrow. Watch that tape. Watch the first 54 minutes of Super Bowl 54. You know, don't watch the last 7 minutes. It's not so great. I don't like watching the last 7 minutes of that game either. Watch the first 54 minutes of what the San Francisco 49ers did to confuse and bother and contain Pat Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and that entire Kansas City Chiefs offense. Watch the Atlanta Falcons tape from earlier this season. Watch the Chargers tape. Those teams had success. You have to play zone coverage, rush four, and drop everyone else back and keep it all in front of you. Kansas City, to their credit, and Mahomes and his continued evolution and development has shown he can check it down. He can methodically march the team down the field and score touchdowns on 10, 12, 15 play drives. As our old school Kansas City Chiefs head coach Hank Stram used to say back in the day, he can matriculate the ball down the field. It doesn't have to be bombs away like it was the first year Mahomes was a starter, where he's just chucking it downfield to Kelce and Watkins and everyone time and time again. They've shown in recent years, especially this season, they can beat you with those long, sustained drives. If you're Todd Bowles, you got to ask yourself the question, who do I want to beat me? You got to take that Bill Belichick approach, where you're going to eliminate their best weapon. So for Todd Bowles, he has to figure out who is their best weapon. Who do I not want to fuck this game up for me? Is it Tyreek Hill? Is it Travis Kelce? Judging off the first encounter with Kansas City, if I'm Todd Bowles, I would take my own advice that I just outlined a couple minutes ago, and I'm not allowing Tyreek Hill to fuck this game up for me. I will make you put together those 10, 12, 15 play drives and methodically march it down the field. Travis Kelce can have whatever he wants in this game. Because Travis Kelce, as great of a tight end as he is, he's not going to beat me on a one-play scoring drive, 80-yard slant. A five-yard slant, he takes 80 yards of the house. He ain't doing that. Tyreek Hill, Cheetah, number 10, he can do that. I'm not allowing Tyreek Hill to run a 15-yard curl and turn that into a 75-yard touchdown. I'm definitely not allowing him to run a go route downfield in one-on-one coverage and catch an 80-yard bomb. I'm not letting that happen. I'm containing Tyreek Hill. I'll allow Travis Kelce to do whatever he wants because I don't – he can beat you, but he's not going to beat you as quickly as Tyreek Hill is going to beat you. Travis Kelce is like death by a thousand paper cuts. Tyreek Hill is like getting shot in the fucking face. I got a better chance of surviving a paper cut than I do with getting shot in the fucking face. So I'll take Travis Kelce over Tyreek Hill. That would be my mindset, my approach, my game plan if I were Todd Bowles. You know, Todd Bowles is a hell of a defensive coordinator. I'm pretty confident he'll come up with something. He's going to have to contain the firepower and explosiveness of what Kansas City is bringing to the field. Sammy Watkins is going to play this Sunday as well. They have not had Sammy Watkins for the two playoff games, didn't have him down the stretch. He's coming back. He's all systems go. He's ready to play this Sunday. Same thing, however, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Antonio Brown, who's been out since the Saints game in a divisional round, did not play in the NFC Championship game. He will be on the field, AB. Man whose life got flipped, turned upside down by Vontaze Burfict in a dirty hit in the playoff game a couple of years ago, has battled being dropped by two different football teams, being on the commissioner exempt list, sexual assault allegations, frostbite, whatever you want to name it. He has battled back from all that, and I'm rooting for this brother. I really hope Antonio Brown goes out there and has a hell of a game on Sunday. I root for this brother. I really do. Because I saw the way the media tried to bury this brother. I look at him. I see a brother with mental health issues. I identify with that. I want to see AB do well. You know, I'm tired of all the slander going towards AB. The brother's made some mistakes, some issues off the field. But you got other cats in the league who've done 10 times worse, and the media don't say shit about that. His old quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, got sexual assault allegations from two different women. The media quiet about that. Antonio Brown and a few other brothers around the league have a few hiccups, and that's front page news all the time. You know, this is a game featuring so many talented football players on both sides of the ball. I always rave and talk about the firepower Kansas City is bringing, but like I just said, Tampa Bay is not devoid of talent either. Not only do they have Antonio Brown, who's not even their number one go-to receiver right now. You got Mike Evans, you got Godwin, you got Scottie Miller making big plays down the field. You got the two tight ends, Cameron Brate and Rob Gronkowski out the backfield. You got Ronald Jones, Leonard Fournette, and this is all being coordinated by the GOAT, Tom Brady. So Tampa Bay's offense is just as potent as Kansas City's, I would say. I think the talent, player for player, position for position, I think we're pretty much equal across the board. I really do. I think both teams defensively are better than what people want to give them credit for. Tampa Bay is adept at forcing turnovers. I think Lavonte David's an outstanding linebacker. I think Devin White has definitely showed you how great he is and how great he can be throughout these entire playoffs. You got Antoine Winfield Jr. in the back end, Murphy Bunting. Carlton Davis is a good defensive back. I know I was shitting on him earlier. He's a pretty good player. He's a good player. He just can't cover Tyreek Hill. There's no embarrassment in that. There's no shame in that. Tyreek Hill is arguably the best receiver in pro football right now, at least top three. You know, there really aren't too many corners that can cover Tyreek Hill one-on-one. That's all I'm saying. Carlton Davis is a good player. I just don't think he should be matched up with Tyreek Hill one-on-one. You know, but he, along with Antoine Winfield Jr. and Sean Murphy Bunting, who's had a pick in two out of three playoff games for Tampa Bay so far, they have a pretty decent back end. It's got better throughout the entire season as it's going along. But the real meat and potatoes for Tampa Bay's defense and the guys, if Tampa Bay is going to win this game, it's going to be the defensive line that wins it for them. That's the key to the game for Tampa Bay. Force turnovers and get pressure with your four down linemen. Jason Pierre-Paul, Shaq Barrett, Vita Vea, and Dominican Sue in particular, JPP and Shaq Barrett, because Kansas City is missing their two starting tackles for this game. Mitchell Schwartz, your right tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs, and Eric Fisher, who tore his Achilles late in the AFC Championship game versus the Buffalo Bills. He is out. So Kansas City will be without their two starting tackles in the Super Bowl. And this is where Shaq Barrett and JPP come into play, because they play on the edge. If they can get pressure and collapse the pocket from the edge and try to contain Mahomes inside the pocket and allow Vita Vea and Dominican Sue to get pressure up front, up the middle, through the A gaps, A and B gaps, they have a shot. Pressure is always going to be the great neutralizer. Throughout the history of the sport, you've always seen great, high-power, explosive, potent offenses roll into the Super Bowl and get neutralized by a team that has a great pass rush. You saw this in 2007, Super Bowl 42. Tom Brady was on the other end of this. New York Giants were able to win that Super Bowl with Michael Strahan, O.C. Umenyiwa, Matthias Kiwanuka, and Justin Tuck getting pressure with four down linemen, Steve Spagnuolo, defensive coordinator for an historical context. You know, Spagnuolo and Brady are familiar with each other, but the Giants had a great pass rush with four down linemen, and they were able to neutralize the high-powered, the most explosive offense in the history of the NFL. The Patriots that season scored 589 points. Brady had 50 touchdown passes. 22 of those went to Randy Moss. But in Super Bowl 42, they scored 14 points. You saw this in Super Bowl 36. Brady was on the right side of this when he won this game. The greatest show on turf, St. Louis Rams, lost to the New England Patriots 20-17. So as many points, as explosive and as potent as that Rams offense was, with Kurt Warner and Marshall Faulk and Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt, Oz Akeem, all the points they were putting up that season, they come into the Super Bowl and only score 17. A great defense can neutralize a great offense. You saw it for 54 minutes in last year's Super Bowl. Super Bowl 25 with Buffalo and the New York Giants. You know, Buffalo came in with the best offense in the league. They scored 51 points in the AFC Championship game. They scored 19 points in the Super Bowl. The 83 Redskins set a then NFL record for points scored in the season, 541 points. Joe Theismann was league MVP. John Riggins had 25 touchdowns that season. They scored 9 points in the Super Bowl. They got destroyed by the then LA Raiders, 38-9. So there's a precedent for this. Just because a team has a high-powered, explosive offense doesn't mean they're going to run roughshod in the Super Bowl. Another example, Super Bowl 48, Denver versus Seattle. Denver scored over 600 points that season, 606 to be exact. Peyton Manning had 55 touchdown passes. In Super Bowl 48 versus Seattle Seahawks, the Denver Broncos scored 8 points. They lost 43-8. What do all these games have in common? All those teams that were able to shut down and neutralize that great high-powered offense had a ferocious and fierce pass rush, applying pressure on the quarterback. The greatest way to neutralize any offense is to get pressure on the quarterback. So it's going to be incumbent upon JPP, Jason Pierre-Paul, Shaq Barrett, and Vita Vea, and Ndamukong Suh. It's going to be imperative that they get pressure on Patrick Mahomes and get him on the ground, obstruct his line of vision, make him throw the ball sooner than what he wants to throw it, make him as uncomfortable as possible, and that's the only way that Tampa can win this football game. I think their secondary is okay. I think it's pretty good. I don't think it's good enough by itself to win. They have to get pressure with their front four and the front seven, but at the same time, they can't blitz. So it really just has to be the front four. And that's going to be the key to success for them defensively. Offensively, Tom Brady cannot make mistakes. Tom Brady cannot be as sloppy and as careless with the football as he was in the second half of the NFC Championship game versus the Green Bay Packers. He has to be like he was in the first half of that game where he was pretty much flawless. He has to play versus Kansas City the way he played versus Washington. He cannot turn the ball over, not against this football team, not with the people they have on offense. Because you turn the ball over versus Kansas City, they're going to convert that into touchdowns, and you're going to get run out of your own stadium. Tom Brady cannot be careless with the football. When Chris Jones gets pressure, when Frank Clark gets there, you can't just throw it up and say, fuck it, Mike Evans is over there somewhere. It's going to get picked off. You can't throw picks. You can't throw three picks in one half versus the Kansas City Chiefs. They will take it. They're not the Green Bay Packers. They will exploit that. Tom Brady has to take much better care of the football in this game than he did versus Green Bay. The first time these two teams played, Brady was 27-41, 345, three scores, but two interceptions. And both of those picks were fuck it picks. And what do I mean by that? I mean whenever Chris Jones and Frank Clark and whoever is getting pressure, a blitzing safety, a blitzing linebacker is about to sack Brady, Brady will just throw it up and say, fuck it, Mike Evans or Gronk or somebody's over there, somebody on my team is going to catch it. And it usually ends up getting picked off, as it did versus Green Bay in the conference championship game. He cannot make those mistakes in this game. He has to take much better care of the football. He has to be sharp. He has to be efficient. He's going to have to create some big plays down the field coming off play action and passing. So that means the running game has to be strong as well with Jones and Fournette out the backfield. As I've said so many times before in this podcast, when you're going up against the Kansas City Chiefs, you have to at least spot them 31 points. So that means your offense has to put up more than that, obviously, if you want to win the football game. I don't agree with the strategy of just try to possess the football and keep Kansas City's offense on the sideline. I don't think it really works like that. That offense is too good to contain. They're going to get theirs. You have to get yours. This is a football team in Kansas City that has only lost one football game since last November, and it was a 41-33 loss at home to the Las Vegas Raiders. So it took 41 points to beat this team. That's reality. That's what it is. Like I said, Kansas City can score 31 points just getting off the bus. You have to put up points to beat this football team. You're not beating them with 20 or 23 or 26, 27, nothing like that. You got to get at least 31 or more to beat this team. And to do that, Brady's going to have to take care of the football, be efficient. The running game has to be strong. They have to play their best game possible this Sunday to beat this football team. Tom Brady's playing in his 10th Super Bowl with his second team, joining Craig Morton, Kurt Warner, and Peyton Manning as the only quarterbacks to reach the Super Bowl with two different teams. Morton did it for the Dallas Cowboys and the Denver Broncos in the 70s. Peyton Manning did it for the Indianapolis Colts and the Denver Broncos. And Kurt Warner did it for the St. Louis Rams and then the Arizona Cardinals. Now Brady doing it for the New England Patriots, now the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's the biggest reason why I'm nervous about my overall Super Bowl pick. Because at the end of the day, it is Tom Brady. Like everywhere I go with everyone I talk to, you know, guys at the job keep asking me for my prediction who I think is going to win. And to a man, everyone keeps saying, yeah, but they got Tom Brady. It's hard to pick against Tom Brady. You really can't go against Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Which is crazy because like most of the people I know and talk football with hate Tom Brady. I'm like his biggest fan. I'm the president, chairman, CEO of the Tom Brady fan club, the TB12 method and everything. That's Tom Brady. But even though everyone hates him, I'm a fan of Tom Brady, I'm picking against him. Because I just believe Kansas City is too good and too explosive. And I think Mahomes right now, I think what you're going to see this Sunday is a coronation of Patrick Mahomes, the passing of the torch, like I alluded to earlier. It's no different than WrestleMania 18 with The Rock versus Hulk Hogan. You had the past versus the present. You had one era versus the old era versus the new era. You had the guy who was the man back in the day versus the guy who's the man right now. I feel like this is a passing of the torch moment. I feel like the new face of the NFL, Patrick Mahomes, will officially assert his place on the throne of the NFL, or the NFL kingdom, the Chiefs kingdom, and rightfully stake his claim as the face of the NFL, the number one guy in the National Football League, the best quarterback in the league. This is his time. This is his moment, whether people like it or not. And as great as Brady is, I can sit here all day and talk about Brady. Like I said, I'm the president, chairman, CEO of his fan club. The guy's 43 through 40 touchdown passes this season, led a team to the playoffs that hadn't been in the playoffs since 2007, has them in the Super Bowl for the first time since 2002, first year as a starter in Tampa Bay, has taken them all the way to the last game of the season. As much respect and admiration as I have for Tom Brady, the GOAT, the greatest quarterback of all time, Patrick Mahomes is just different. Everyone says, how can you pick against Brady? How can you pick against Patrick Mahomes? He's never lost a football game by more than 8 points in the NFL. He's only lost about 7 or 8 games, period. One loss in the playoffs that Mahomes had was a 37-31 loss to New England with Tom Brady at quarterback at home in Arrowhead in the 2019 AFC Championship game. With everything I've seen from Mahomes so far in his professional career, I don't see any flaws or weaknesses in this game. Like I said, you can't blitz him. You can't even put pressure on him, really. ESPN had a stat earlier that was one of the most ridiculous stats I've ever seen. They had next-generation stats on what Patrick Mahomes is able to do when he's running 8 miles per hour. How good are you that someone is tracking stats of how well you throw a football when you're running 8 miles per hour? Something like 12 touchdown passes while he's running 8 miles per hour with no interceptions and a quarterback rating well over 100 while he's running 8 miles per hour. That's the level this dude is on. I've said this before. Patrick Mahomes could retire tomorrow or the day after Super Bowl Sunday for whatever reason. Let's hypothetically, if he decided to retire, he would already be a first ballot NFL Pro Football Hall of Famer. You are watching this Sunday two Hall of Fame quarterbacks go at it. One of them is solidified, should be a no-brainer first ballot. They should waive the 5-year rule for Tom Brady. Whenever Brady does decide to retire, he came out this week and said he has intentions to play past the age of 45. He's 43 right now. Whenever Tom Brady does retire in the year 2046, the same calendar year, he should go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. There should be no 5-year wait for Tom Brady. I don't care what the rules are. I don't care if other players have to wait 5 years. Tom Brady should go into the Hall of Fame the same year he retires. I feel that strongly about Brady, and I'm starting to feel the same way about Mahomes already. Mahomes, like I said, is already a first ballot NFL Pro Football Hall of Famer. So in this Super Bowl on Sunday that everyone's going to watch, you're watching two surefire first ballot NFL Hall of Famers play quarterback in the biggest game of the season. And for that and so many other reasons, I can't wait. This is going to be awesome. I mean, two evenly matched teams, great skill players on both sides of the ball, great coaches. Andy Reid has always been deadly whenever he has a bye week to prepare for a football team. I'm at last year's Super Bowl versus San Francisco. Some of the formations and concepts they came out with last year was just straight up ridiculous. So I'm looking forward to seeing what imaginative play calling that he and Bieniemy are able to come up with for the Super Bowl this Sunday. I'm also looking forward to the back and forth between Bieniemy and Todd Bowles in particular. I'm looking forward to seeing what sleeper player has a big game this Sunday in Super Bowl 55. Typically, historically, there's always been like guys coming out of nowhere, nondescript, unheralded players, mostly anonymous to the casual football fan, come out of complete obscurity and had the game of their life on Super Bowl Sunday. You think back to Super Bowl 22 with the then known Washington Redskins versus the Denver Broncos, and Timmy Smith came out of nowhere at 236 yards rushing in that game. You think about Larry Brown in Super Bowl 30 playing for the Dallas Cowboys was game MVP at 2 interceptions because Neil O'Donnell threw it right to him twice. For a more recent example, you think about Chris Matthews, wide receiver for the Seattle Seahawks in Super Bowl 49, who had an incredible game. You think about Bashaud Breeland last year. I swear to God, I thought Bashaud Breeland was 1994 Deion Sanders for some reason in last year's Super Bowl. That was the best game I'd ever seen Bashaud Breeland play in his life. And that type of shit typically happens on Super Bowl Sunday. There's always one guy comes out of complete anonymity and obscurity to have the game of his life. And I'm wondering who's that going to be this year for Kansas City or for Tampa? You think about L'Jarius Sneed, defensive back for the Kansas City Chiefs. Filled in for the aforementioned Bashaud Breeland at the beginning of the season. Broke his collarbone, I think, in week 3, then missed 7 games. He's a prototypical outside corner, but he plays in the slot. So in this game, he'll more than likely be matched up with Antonio Brown and Scotty Miller or Godwin, whoever they decide to line up in the slot. Sneed's biggest attribute is his ability to play press coverage at the line of scrimmage. Throughout the season, Sneed only allowed 8 completions on 20 targets for 88 yards whenever he was matched up in one-on-one press coverage. So for me, Sneed is my sleeper pick for Kansas City to be game MVP. And then for Tampa Bay, I'm going to say one of their tight ends. I'm going to say either Gronk or Cameron Brate. When they played in week 12, Gronk had 7 targets, 6 catches for 106 yards. Cameron Brait was targeted 6 times, caught 4 passes for 34 yards. So that tells me they can get some success versus that Kansas City defense with their tight ends. Tampa Bay doesn't often throw it to Gronk that much anymore, but he's one of their best run blockers for sure. He's definitely has a place in the offense. But last time they played, like I said, he had 7 for 106. I think those opportunities are going to be there once again for either him or Cameron Brait, the other tight end on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think there's a path for him to have a great game on Sunday as well. So look out for Legarius Sneed, Cameron Brait, and Rob Gronkowski. I think one of those three guys could play a pivotal part in this game on Sunday. So enough of the talk. Now it's prediction time. Let's get down to the brass tacks. Who does Dion Gordon think is going to win Super Bowl 55? I'll say it's going to be a good game. However, put an asterisk next to that. I do see a possibility where it could potentially get out of hand if certain things aren't done defensively for Tampa. But I'm going to try to be optimistic and try to think it's going to be a good close game. Both teams are evenly matched. I'm going to say Kansas City 31, Tampa 25. Chiefs go back-to-back, 2 in a row. Mahomes will more than likely be the game MVP, even though I just pointed out some sleepers that could steal the show from him or Brady. But I think Mahomes will likely be the MVP of the game for the second consecutive year, adding to his legacy, adding to his already solidified first ballot NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame legacy. Once again, I just think it's his time. I think it's Andy Reid's time. Andy Reid has opportunity this Sunday to put his name in the pantheon of all-time great NFL coaches. He's a Hall of Famer in his own right. You think about the all-time greats, they all have multiple Super Bowl championships. Lombardi has 2. Landry has 2. Knoll has 4. Walsh has 3. Parcells has 2. Joe Gibbs has 3 with 3 different quarterbacks. Belichick has 6. Jimmy Johnson has 2. You know, you think about Mike Shanahan has 2 championships. You think about the all-time great coaches throughout the history of the league, the guys who you can't tell the story of the NFL without talking about. They all have at least multiple Super Bowl champions. Don Shula also has 2 championships. The all-time great coaches won multiple championships. I think Andy Reid puts his name among those legends' names this Sunday, winning his 2nd championship. This is a guy, they ran him out of Philadelphia because he couldn't win a Super Bowl. Because he would get to the conference championship game every year, and they find a way to lose. He got to the Super Bowl once with Philadelphia. That was Super Bowl 39, losing to Tom Brady 24-21 with the Eagles. Donovan McNabb down there in Jacksonville. That was Brady's 3rd championship after New England went back-to-back, winning it in 03 and 04. Now you fast forward 17 years later, now Kansas City with Andy Reid is trying to go back-to-back, and now Brady's trying to stop that. So it's funny how history repeats itself, and it's also a testament to the longevity of the ageless Tom Brady, who just plays forever and ever and ever and is just great and awesome forever and ever. As amazing as he's been this season, as great of a story as it is for him to take Tampa to the Super Bowl in his first full year as a starter, once again, I just think it's Patrick Mahomes' time. So Kansas City 31, Tampa 25, should be a good game. I'm psyched. I can't wait. On the edge of my seat waiting for this. Sunday can't come soon enough. 3:30 out here and on the West Coast, Pacific Coast time. I'm ready. I hope you're ready. It's the gift of football. Bask in its glory. Drinking in, man. Super Bowl 55. Tampa, Kansas City, Mahomes, Brady. This is going to be fire. That's about it for the Dion Gordon podcast. Picks me rolling. I'm out.